Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show. Kirk, you went back to 1994, Sean Kemp and Gary Payton. That's what you went back to.
Man, that's iconic music, man.
That's iconic
that's
music.
That's iconic. That when that came on.
Oh, you were sitting on your couch, you know, why? Let's get ready.
It's fresh in my mind because of The Last Dance, right? With Michael Jordan and the,
the Bulls. All those games were on NBC.
They were all on NBC. You know, I was very lucky to work with the great legend Dick Stockton over on the NFL coverage for a couple games. He helped bring my broadcasting career, got it going. So I would always ask him just about those games, and he was just listening at just how intense, you know, calling games at the Boston Garden. You know, because everybody was watching. There was no, remember back then, there was no DVR. There was no, you know, just, you know, maybe
you
one
were watching
highlight
it live.
Show.
It was must
you had
watch
to watch it
TV.
Live. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had to watch it live.
Yeah, I like, it does take you back. By the way, it takes you back. It takes you back as if you were, you know, obviously for, by the way, there's youngsters that don't even know this music. Youngsters have no idea. Is that the one? Is that the music?
That's the one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we ever heard this far. See, look, there it is.
There it is.
Yeah, it's just on repeat.
Round Ball Rock.
That's the one right there. That's the one right there. Kirk, I got to be honest, man. I couldn't disagree with you more. What you said right there with the Clippers. I mean, I get some of the advantages that the Clippers have, but to say that because Avery Bradley's out, that all of a sudden now they have an advantage over the Lakers. Let me say this, by the way. Lou Williams being on this 50-50, he may or may not go, and we'll see what happens. We'll see kind of how this eventually plays out. That's a humongous loss to the Clippers if they lost Lou Williams, and I'm not going to say that they are or they're not because, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But as much as I value Avery Bradley, and I've spent the last couple of days saying that this is not a small loss, I don't think I would go that far to say, okay, well, now here's another team in the Western Conference. You know what? They have actually the edge over the Lakers. It's not a stretch to say that the Clippers would have an edge because the Clippers, prior to that game that the Lakers played at Staples Center, right before the season got, you know, obviously postponed, the Clippers were 2-0 against the Lakers. So a lot of the conversation was, well, until you beat them, why do you think we're not going to think you can't beat or we're not going to think you can beat them unless you actually do it? But I don't know if the Avery Bradley swings me that much.
No, it shouldn't swing you. But when we're analyzing right now, okay, we can say, hey, this is what we think for the future. But as for me right now, in the games that we saw, let's be honest, like the guy who had a monster game was Avery Bradley. And we saw the impact that he had on the game against the Clippers, right? Of the game that we saw on that Sunday. And now him not being a part of this Lakers squad, it just takes away some of that experience. It takes away a guy who can give it to you at the defensive end. But also if you need it, you know, a couple baskets here or there, you know, 8 to 10 points, Avery Bradley can provide that. So where do you get that from now? Now, look, can J.R. Smith give you more of an impact? Yeah, I think he's going to give you more of an impact on the offensive end if needed. He can run with the second unit and definitely is a guy who can create his own shot. But to me, it just swings it just a little bit just because he's a proven guy, though, right? Avery Bradley was a proven guy, and we're talking about continuity. And I'm listening to Rob Pelinka just talk right there, Alan, and he's telling you, we're not going to do anything basketball-wise. We want to just get these guys in condition and just work on individual technique, just getting back the fundamentals. And then when we get to Orlando, we'll hopefully put in some sets and things like that. Guys are going to be rusty, right? So it's going to take the better part of maybe the first two rounds before we actually see possibly the Lakers be really at full strength or maybe in the swing of where they were before the pandemic hit, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not going to happen right away. Like, this, we've always seen LeBron do what he has had to ramp it up when, right? He would start the season just a little bit slow, then he would ramp up a little bit, and then after the All-Star break, he picks it up a little bit, and then when the playoffs come, it's zero dark 30. Mm-hmm. Right? And so how do these Lakers treat those eight games, Alan? Those eight games before you jump right into the playoffs. So that's why I think it's a lot more even right now with the Clippers with a slight edge than anything, right? I'm not saying that they just clearly can just blow out or it's the Clippers all day long. What I'm saying is that I'm giving a slight edge to the Clippers just because of what happened with Avery Bradley not being a part of the Lakers and what I've seen so far in this season.
All right, so let's wait and see what happens with also Dwight Howard and obviously Lou Williams. I just mentioned those two names because there's been some hesitation, it sounds like, of whether those two will be a part of the Orlando bubble. That would obviously impact both teams' chances. You know, I think the Lou Williams part is that's significant for the Clippers. No yes. question about significant because you just don't have a player like that.
No.
Really in the NBA that can just come off the bench and put up 18. You know what I mean? Like that's Lou Williams. He's done it his entire career. And at least, you know, if Dwight Howard just hypothetically didn't go for the Lakers, I think one of the things you could still look at is you can say, all right, well, JaVale McGee's there. You can go small. Anthony Davis goes five. Markieff Morris coming in. Now you got options to kind of play multiple roles. You still have Kuzma that can play a three or a four. So I think the Lakers have options, but of course you want Dwight Howard there. But we'll just kind of wait and see how that all pans out. But this is going to be definitely one of those that everybody's kind of waiting on pins and needles to see, you know, what happens with some of these roster spots. Kirk, you mentioned this last week. You know, you mentioned you wouldn't be surprised if there's some guys out there that they don't want to be a part of this bubble. They don't want to. Would you do it, by the way, if you were still in the league, if you were still in NFL right now, if you were still an NFL player and you're looking at this upcoming fall and just kind of all the circumstances, would you have an incredible amount of hesitation or would it be different?
Well, I think it's a little bit different for the NFL's sake, right? Because there's a bunch of guys who want to get back out there and start practicing and start playing. Where I think that what happens is with the NBA was that psychologically, guys had put their minds to, I'm going to play in a season starting in October, and I'm giving you everything that I've got, and hopefully we make it to the playoffs come April. Well, there was no April. And so how do you ramp it back up having been off for this long? Like, you have to tell yourself, hey, we're playing for a championship. We're playing for a championship when so much around you has changed. Right? Your priorities have changed. You've been with your family the last couple months. You've been doing kind of your stay at home, your quarantine. And just to think that you can flip a switch and get that same intensity right back, especially in an environment that doesn't have that fan base that's cheering you on, right? Those same fan base who yelling Lakers, anything, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like it's going to be different. And that's why I think that some guys in the beginning, hey, you're all in. I'm back playing ball again. I'm excited about this. But as the weeks go by or days go by, I should say, going through the protocol, it's going to be difficult, man. It's just like when we first heard about the stay-at-home orders and people had to be at home quarantined. Alan, it was hard the first week. Mm-hmm. People didn't know what to do, and mm-hmm. it was frustrating. And then we got kind of all, you know, hit our quarantine stride. Yep. We adapted, mm-hmm. right? Like, we haven't been in the – when's the last time we've been in the actual studio to do an actual show? We've been doing it all from home. And look,
over 100 days ago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the shows sound beautiful. We've been working, but we've made it work, right? Because we were willing to work at it. We were willing mm-hmm. to make sure that we're doing what we can. But we're committed to our craft. How many guys are committed to their craft knowing that, hey, I've got a contract and I'm going to, I'll just wait till next year or I'll wait mm-hmm. till the next season starts up, right? Because you're seeing other guys like the Brooklyn Nets, right? Half their team has tested positive for COVID-19. They're just like, yeah, you know what?
Spencer Dinwiddie is going to be the big question. You know what I mean? Yeah. Dinwiddie is going to be the big question about DeAndre Jordan's out. Dinwiddie is... I guess still, you know, looking to make a decision, but this is a team that can eventually come in with pretty much all reserves, that could be one of the teams that comes to this tournament, the Brooklyn Nets, without Dinwiddie, obviously without KD, without Kyrie Irving, without right. DeAndre Jordan. You have basically a G League team that's represented.
And who gets to play them in the first round, right? Because that's almost like just stealing, right? That's just almost like a walk. That's like a bye week playing against the Brooklyn Nets. Like, this, I'm just being real.
I know.
You know, does that help out Giannis and the Bucks, right? Like, who does that help out? You know what I mean? Because that team is not full throttle. They're not full, right? They're not at their best. So it's those types of things that can kind of, you know, can hurt the restart up. But like I said, I'm just worried about guys who get in for that first week because you're excited. I've been there before, man. I'm telling you, you can't wait to the restart. Or for me, I couldn't wait for training camp to start, man. It was like, oh, I can't wait. I've missed you, football. I love you. But boy, you get about 3 to 4 days in, about a week in, and I'm like,
the grind begins. I want to go
home. Mm-hmm. I miss my own bed.
Sure.
Like, people don't understand, like, you, like, your own bed, you take it for granted, but you go sleep on another mattress that ain't the one that you've been sleeping on every night. It's a big difference. It's one thing if you're on vacation. You go, you know, 3 or 4 nights. You can get through it. But we're talking about for upwards of 3 months, right? Living in a hotel.
Okay? Lakers, I think, arrived July 9th.
Yes.
And if they go, you know, obviously the full length, I think you can go till October 12th, October 13th. That would be game 7. So, I mean, it's a long time. I mean,
it's going to be a mental drag as well. Mm-hmm. Like, as much as we talk about the physical part of the NBA, the X's and O's, who's going to win, all that good stuff, there's still going to be some mental fatigue as well, right? Emotional fatigue, right? This is going to be different. Right. This is going to be a true test of wheels in Orlando. Right. Who is going to be built for it? Where are the dogs at? That's what we're going to find out. Who are the real dogs? Because this ain't going to be easy. Right. It's not going to be easy. I think a lot of people just, oh, restart up. And we're talking about grown men.
No, there's challenges. We're
talking about grown men having to adjust their lifestyle for a championship, man. We're going to see who committed.
All right, 710 ESPN wants to salute all of our frontline workers as part of our Thank You Thursdays presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. If you know someone who is working as a healthcare provider, firefighter, EMS worker, or a food service professional, nominate him or her today. Here's how you do it. Email the station, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com, with your first and last name, city, and occupation. Or post a short video on Instagram or Twitter and include the hashtag 710 Thank You Thursdays. Every Thursday, we'll interview a frontline worker and award them a $500 thank you gift to include a $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, $100 gift card to Wingstop, VSLiquor.com, and Shuteria.com. So thank you to our partners. Thank you to, obviously, our frontline workers. When we come back, Kirk, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, and I got to get your thoughts on it. Cam Newton, how long was he a free agent? 3 months?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Too long.
Too long. Okay. So 3 months he's a free agent, or however long that was, ends up with the New England Patriots. What does that mean for the NFL? So we'll talk about it specifically, not just for the Patriots, the AFC, and what kind of effects that's going to have just in general of seeing Cam Newton with the Patriots. We'll do that coming up next. This is the Sliwa Show. Alan Sliwa here with Kirk Morrison, 710 ESPN. A lot of reggae this weekend, Kirk.
I like it, though. I like that, though. I like that reggae.
A lot of reggae this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that reggae nice and smooth, man. Like, especially when you had a couple of adult beverages and you just happened to find your way onto a dance floor and the reggae music actually just, it takes over your body though.
It's got rhythm. There's nothing you can do. It just kind of, it comes in
and you can do whatever you want to.
It just kind of takes over.
Mm-hmm. And for a guy like me, you know, I'm kind of stiff at times, right? Like, I can just be loose, you know, kind of wave your arms a little bit, move slow.
100%. And people are turning in like, damn, this dude, where'd he get his rhythm from? Where'd this guy get his rhythm from?
Yeah. And half the time, it depends on where you're at. A lot of people.
I know where you got your rhythm from. Yeah, I know where you got your rhythm from. You know where you got it from, Kirk?
Where I got it from?
Tito's. That's where you got your rhythm.
I got it from the Tito's, but a lot of people, you know, they off that oil, man. They liquored up, inebriated, they feeling good. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, yeah, like you mentioned, sometimes the adult beverages just take over and you kind of lose the, you lose kind of your train of thought. Like, you're just like, you know what? I don't care what people think.
Well, your confidence increases. Yeah, your confidence just goes through the roof. All of a sudden, you think
you are. The liquid courage. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All of a sudden, you think you're the best dancer on the floor. But I will say.
Best dancer, best singer, all of that.
There's obviously a lot of, I play a lot of reggae, you know, on the show. But I play just, honestly, it's such a great just vibe. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of it, too. I mean, they could have great positive messages. Some of them could be very political. But really, at the end of the day, it's like just the rhythm. I think you said it best. Like, it just kind of comes into you. Yeah. That's the best way to describe it. Okay, Matt, we got to get into this. So explain this to me. Cam Newton joins the New England Patriots. He was a free agent for 3 months.
Yes.
Now, all of a sudden, there's a lot of, I've been watching ESPN all day today. Everybody's like, hey, you know what? Now I think the Patriots are going to – they're going to be back in the AFC Championship. I think the Patriots will have a better season than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with, you know, Tom Brady. Well, why was this guy off the market for 3 months? Tell me what I'm missing here.
Well, the thing about this with Cam Newton was obviously he's an MVP in this league. That means that he is going to come with a price tag. And also, too, they waited too long to release Cam. Okay? Mm. Like, the carousel of quarterbacks had kind of already been filled. And there's a thing, and there's a big difference, too, when it comes to Cam Newton and other quarterbacks who are kind of already off the market. Okay, Cam Newton is a starter in the NFL, Alan. I don't think there's no doubting that. He's a starter in this league. How many starting spots were available? Okay, that's number one. But then also, what about the teams who are selecting a young quarterback in the draft, right? Because he was linked there. A lot of people were like, oh, he should go to the Chargers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but everybody was like, no, because the Chargers are – they're worried about the future, okay? They're trying to get a quarterback for the future to replace Phillip Rivers. So Cam would only be going to a team that just needs a stopgap. Right. Someone who wants Cam for maybe 2 to 3 years, but they're not really looking to rebuild with Cam. Right. He's going to a situation where, hey, you come in and we've kind of already established a culture. We just kind of need you to hold on. So there wasn't really a lot of spots there. And Cam was just not going to take a backup role. If you look around the National Football League, a lot of teams already had their starting quarterback in place.
Were they better than Cam? Were they better than Cam?
Yeah, but you don't want to bring him in. But what team could you bring him in, though? Alan, what team could you bring him in and not stir up controversy or give the guy who you're already paying a boatload of money, like, oh, yeah, we're just bringing in a former MVP just to be your backup? Like, really?
Okay, so let me understand this. So, if everything in sports is about competition, this is where sometimes I get confused with the NFL, because I'll use Cam Newton. I can't give you a comp of who Cam Newton, who in the NBA is like a Cam Newton. I can't give you that comp. Like a perfect comp.
I talked about it yesterday. Carmelo Anthony.
I would think he's better than Carmelo.
You said
and
what?
And he's younger than – I would think he's better than Carmelo. Like, Carmelo today is not that impactful in the NBA. He's not. So, like – I'm comparing
careers. So I think about guys who are dominant in the college ranks, right? Dominated and won national championships, right? Like Carmelo Anthony, what he did at Syracuse in that 1 year. Cam Newton in his 1 year at Auburn, what he did, win the Heisman and win a national championship. They both go to their respective professional sports and they tear the league up, right? Carmelo was one of the best players in his time. Cam Newton's from the beginning, one of the best players in his time.
Now, so what's Cam right now? Cam is what? Carmelo in Denver? Like Carmelo at his – or kind of later in Carmelo's career?
Oh, he's Carmelo after New York.
Okay,
like,
so
he's Carmelo in New York. Like, you know, they got close. Well, Carmelo, they kind of got close. But Cam has been to a championship, right? He didn't win it. Went to a Super Bowl but didn't win it. And so now you've seen a guy who's been injured. And that's another thing that we haven't talked about. Cam Newton has been injured.
Sure.
And it's been a detriment, man. I talked to one of his former teammates the other day, Torrey Smith, and he was like, Cam has been injured. And we saw it at practice. And he was trying to, you know, gut it out and do what's best, you know, for the team. But clearly,
he was hurting himself individually.
Yeah, he was hurting himself individually. He was hurting the team. Mm-hmm. And then when, you know, he had to have the surgery, he kept trying to rush back and I'm going to be ready. And I think finally he just took the time off and he's healthy. Now, the New England Patriots, they knew this. They just had to wait till Cam Newton realizes that in a game of musical chairs, there was no chairs left. Like Cam Newton just sitting there like that episode of Fresh Prince.
He's in the house.
Will Smith walked in there and there's like nobody there. Like the house is empty.
There's no furniture.
Ain't no furniture, no nothing. And he's like, where were all the quarterback spots? They're all gone. Mm-hmm. But there was one spot that was available in which that could see Cam Newton compete for a starting job. He's not given the role of starting quarterback in New England, but it was a spot that was open that you can see him being able to compete. And I don't think that there's any controversy about that. I think he's a better quarterback than Jared Stidham. Mm-hmm. And we both know this, that in a year, the way the pandemic has hit football, basketball, baseball, we just talked about it with Avery Bradley. You give me some experience.
Yeah.
Find the experience. New England went out and they got the experience.
The
experience. And it's only a one-year rental, which is great.
So it still has me with 10 more questions for you, but I know we got a break and we got to go to halftime. And do me a favor, when you mention NBA, NFL, and you mention Major League Baseball, always mention NHL. You know I'm the NHL guy in LA, all right? Don't you forget that, Kirk. I know my NHL. Okay, I don't know my NHL at all. We got halftime coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Stay right here. Alan Sliwa, Kirk Morrison. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag, done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
All right, Kirk, I just got to finish this off before we start halftime, okay? So we're hitting on Cam Newton. I guess my question comes down to this. You know how we talk, everything's about competition in the league. It's not just the NFL, NBA, and so forth. You know how you're talking about how there's other quarterbacks out there that kind of already have that starting position. You don't want to I don't know if you want to create some controversy. Maybe that's the right word. But what if you brought Cam Newton because you thought he was a better quarterback than the quarterback you have, and you told that quarterback that you have is like, look, this is fair game, it's competition, best one wins it out. Isn't there also a strategy of using that where other players are also going to respect the fact that another quarterback comes in and it's going to be a fight? Competition is everything, and typically competition, you know, obviously helps when it's all said and done.
Yeah, but there's a thing called the salary cap. And so there are certain guys that regardless of what they make entitles them to be the starting quarterback. Like, look at the Rams roster right now. Look at the backup quarterbacks. There is nobody pressing Jared Goff.
Of course, right?
There's nobody. Yeah, the contracts don't lie.
But that contract is
is not lining up, and so that's the way it is. I mean, in the NFL, the salary cap kind of indicates what's going on. But you look at maybe like the Raiders situation. Okay, you've got Derek Carr making a nice little penny. But then you have Marcus Mariota, who signed a nice little contract over, $7-8 million a year. Mm-hmm. That's quality backup money, but it's also money that, hey, we're not probably looking at you just
you're
as
not a
backup.
Lock. Yep.
You could be a starter, right?
Sure,
so
sure,
we put some incentives in there. And we've seen that before. Same thing with Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky over with the Chicago Bears. A lot of people know that if Mitch Trubisky doesn't start well, your boy Nick Foles, Super Bowl 52 MVP, he could be right there in the fold as a starting quarterback again for an offense that definitely is suited to his skill set.
All right, let's get started. Curtis, why don't you start things off, buddy?
All right. So earlier today, I don't know if you saw on Twitter, Messi has scored his 700th career goal.
Saw that.
Messi.
He's only like seventh in the top scoring list on that account. But I started diving deep into the Messi stats and all that. And there was some really interesting stuff I found. So Messi's got like the most goals with a single team at like 444.
Okay.
And in a year period, he scored like a calendar year, Messi scored 91 goals. which is insane.
Jesus. That's a lot of goals.
But I just started thinking about you know how there's everyone's got their favorite either career stat or random sports stat that they love. And I want to see what your guys' opinion is on that.
Okay.
Ooh, sports stat.
So it could be Wilt's 100. It could be Kareem's points. It could be Phelps' golds. You know, there's
I think
so many
I got
things.
Mine. I got mine already.
Mm. Go ahead.
All right. So did you guys know that Wilt Chamberlain, in 1 year, there was a season he averaged 50 points and 25 rebounds a game?
What?
About that. Think about that for a second. Kirk, there was a season where Wilt Chamberlain averaged 50 and 25. If a player right now, if Anthony Davis for the Los Angeles Lakers put up 50 and 25, we're all going to be talking about it for the next couple of days. Wilt Chamberlain averaged that over, I think, 80 games or something along those lines. So out of all the stats are out there, and don't get me wrong, I could go to Kobe with his 81-point game.
What? Did you guys lose Allen too? Lost Allen.
Yeah, I don't hear. We lost okay. Allen because Kobe ain't going to let you talk about him like that, all right?
Clearly not.
Off the show. That's it.
Oh, there he is.
What's up, Al? What up?
Bear got you.
50 and 25, fellas. 50 and 25. That was that's the stat that I'm talking about. Kirk, you got something in mind? What's a stat that stands out to you?
A stat that stands out to me is over the last couple years, I would say, what about last three or four seasons, the triple-double was something in the NBA that it was an accomplishment, man. Like, man, that dude had a triple-double. That means that he basically filled the stat sheet. Right, points, rebounds, assists. But to me, the bigger one was the quadruple double, right? Because there's only been five guys in NBA history to have a quadruple double. Can you guys name the five players in NBA history to get a quadruple double? One of them is actually active in the NBA, and
Active in the league?
He's active in the league. One of his, I would say, yeah.
I think I know the one that's active in the league.
Correct.
Is it Chris Paul?
No, it's not Chris Paul.
Is it Dirk?
No, it's not
Dirk's
Dirk.
Done. All right, first, the only one that I think I know quadruple-double, David Robinson, one of those?
Yes, he is.
All right, David Robinson's one, active in the league right now. So
yep.
I got to think of somebody who can also block shots because I'm assuming that it's points, rebounds, assists, and block shots.
Is it Hassan Whiteside?
Nope.
It's not AD, right?
Well, let me make sure I clarify this. Mm-hmm. He was close. He was the closest to it, okay?
Okay, so he didn't
Anthony
get it.
Davis. So he didn't
it is AD.
Technically, but it is AD.
I'll take AD.
I misread
how close?
It. But
how close? Is it
he
like
was
eight,
close.
Eight blocks or something?
Yes, so he was this is how close that he got in a game back in 2000, I believe, 7, where he had 36 points, 14 rebounds, 9 blocks, and
Jesus.
8 assists.
Jesus.
Yes, so he was close. But the other guys, like you mentioned, it was obviously, David Robinson.
Hakeem on there or no?
Yeah, Hakeem Olajuwon, Nate Thurman, Alvin Robertson. Hakeem did it. He actually did it twice. And
freaking
David Robinson. So in NBA history, I misspoke.
That's a great stat.
There have been five quadruple doubles.
That's a great stat.
Shaq was close to some
Shaq
of those.
Had to be close.
Yeah.
Tom is the assist. You know, Shaq's not going to, he's not going to be dropping 10 dimes in a game. But no, definitely probably got, within striking distance. But Jess, what's a stat that stands out to you? Any sport, what's one that, Curtis, that's a great question, by the way.
Bynum almost close to had one, too. I vaguely remember Bynum being super close. So I think he had one, or was it a triple-double with blocks in the playoffs? Mm. Anyways.
Could have been. I think it's triple-double, and I think blocks was one of those. But
yeah,
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Actually, it's just the one stat line from Ichiro in the 2004 season when he hit 372.
Mm.
I mean, that's all you got to say. I think you know, with baseball, I think that's one of the more interesting just because it's super analytical and it's like a lot of numbers just when you really kind of look deep into it. And I think Ichiro, 72, oh, so great.
How smooth was he?
The second he hit the ball, he was out of the box.
Yeah.
That's what I love. I love music him and all that.
Do you see, by the way,
There's two sweet lefty swings, right? Look, I swing right-handed.
We already know the other one.
I swing right-handed, yes. I swing right-handed. But for me, I always wanted to swing left-handed because I just thought left-handed batters just their swings were just prettier, right?
How it was cool did it look?
Like,
by the way, that's
the greatest swing I've ever seen, obviously. I think you pointed to it, Alan Sliwa. The greatest swing ever to me is Ken Griffey Jr. Like, that is the prettiest swing I've ever seen. But you could throw in Ichiro's swing.
Like, I got another one
watching
for you.
Barry Bonds. And even right now, the tomahawk of Bryce Harper, like just the left-handed bat swing to me.
How about Tony Gwynn?
T. Gwynn, yes.
Back in the day.
Yes.
I mean, just and
my
that's
neighbor,
almost...
T. Gwynn Jr., Tony Gwynn Jr., man.
Very nice.
The Aztec, I see you throwing that in there. But yeah, the left-handed swing, oh, that's the only reason why I wanted to be left-handed, just to bat left-handed.
There is something to it because, you know, you look at it as unorthodox. How smooth is it sometimes when you see a lefty, you know, taking a jumper? Right, like
right.
You know, you're always watching. I'm like, damn, that looks so much better than a righty taking a jumper. You know,
right?
There's something about those lefties. And Derek Fisher, you saw, was actually, you know what? Something today, earlier today, Lakers put out this tweet, and they do a fantastic job of just kind of going back on old Laker highlights.
Right.
And one of the, if you guys remember this, in 2009, Lakers were up 2-1 against Orlando. Orlando had a 5-point lead with like 37 seconds left to go, or something along those lines. Kobe got to the basket, threw a beautiful pass to Powell. Powell dunks it. Lakers down 3. And they show these two highlights of Derek Fisher hitting a 3 with like 8 seconds left to go. I don't know what Jameer Nelson was doing, but he backed up when they're up 3. Derek Fisher hits a 3. And then in overtime, Lakers going to overtime. This was the difference of the series. Orlando could have tied it 2-2. So it's 2-1. Lakers end up going 3-1 because in overtime, again, Jameer Nelson, I think he's helping off of Derek Fisher. Kobe throws it to D. Fish, top of the key. That lefty jumper, there's just something about it that looks so good. And it goes back to what you guys were just referencing about that Ichiro swing or Ken Griffey Jr. There's nothing better.
Nothing better, baby.
I got one notable mention for football. I think it's very underrated. Brett Favre starting 297 straight games. Even after, I remember watching the Monday night game after his father passed away. I think I was like 8 or 9. Remember watching it, and it's just like, that dude never stopped. That dude never quit.
You know, we I know we can kind of go off of this and keep going. Cal Ripken, 2,600 plus games. You know
Steve
what I mean?
Mason, so there's 3,000 shows.
Yes. Throw Mason in there. But obviously some unbelievable stats from there. Jess, what do you got, bud?
All right, so earlier today it was announced that Portland Trail Blazers guard Damian Lillard will be one of the 3 cover athletes for the next NBA 2K series, NBA 2K21. He was said in a statement that this is a special moment for me in his NBA career. He's been a big fan of 2K for years. He loves how it represents all aspects of the basketball culture. He's been an avid 2K player and is honored to join other NBA greats who have donned the cover. And, you know, I think it's more of a big deal. You know, for me, I'm a big gamer. If I was an athlete, I would absolutely love to be on the cover of any game. It didn't matter if it was, you know, one of those like rugby games or whatever. I would throw me on the cover, 100%. And I would blast that cover up in my room and frame it and super nice and make sure everyone knows that I was on the cover of a video game. So, Kirk, I kind of want to throw this up to you, you know.
Yeah.
What did you think? Did you ever kind of envision yourself ever trying to or ever being on the cover of a Madden or just a video game in general when you're going through NFL career?
Well, I appreciate you asking me, Jess. You know, in my career, it was
Alan, I'm getting to you. Kirk is the host for tonight. He's a co-host. Guest first. Come on, Alan.
Well, look.
I mean,
Alan.
I went. Go ahead.
Hey, it is levels to this, by the way. And I was, first of all, the first level that starts with it for me was going back to when I first saw myself on a video game, 2002. the NCAA video game.
Remember? Non-profit.
Yes, non-profit. This was before the whole, you know,
capitalizing.
Yeah, but I couldn't wait to go grab NCAA 02. And I remember getting that game, turning it on. And this was my sophomore year, and I was, you know, I was a starter at linebacker. And I remember turning the game on and seeing sophomore linebacker number 34, and, you know, my name and likeness and all of that. And I was just like, what? They didn't have name. They just had, like, the number.
Yeah, they put the number,
yeah. It was like,
barely got around it.
Linebacker,
I would have took my console everywhere I went with my controllers. I would have took it everywhere. Everywhere I pulled up, I'd be like, hey, let me just plug this in real quick. Who is that? Was that me? Yep, yeah. That's me on a video game. Do you got one?
But it was – so you got to think. So for 3 years in a row, right, so 02, the 03, and the 04 editions of the video game, I was on the cover, man. And I was like, wow. I mean, not on the cover, but I was in the game. And so it was unbelievable just to see. Like, that was me. Like, I couldn't wait to play with San Diego State because I could play and use myself and use my attributes. And then all of a sudden, I got drafted to the NFL. And then when I got drafted to the NFL, man, it was everybody just want to see what my Madden rating was. And I'll text it to you guys. I may put it out there on my Instagram, on my IG story, my first picture of what it looked like in Madden 05 when I got drafted. And it said, you know, name number 52, Morrison, San Diego State, 6'2", 240, all of that. And I was just like, I just couldn't believe it. And then I start playing well, and I start getting attributes, and then, you know, like, it's crazy to think that, like, I'll go out somewhere, you know, where some fans are or something, old Raider fans, and they're like, man, dog, I remember I used to play with you in Madden in 08, man, you used to go knock some fools out. And I was like, okay.
They're not, like, talking about, hey, how funny is that, Kirk, how funny is that? They're talking about the video game. They're not talking about what you actually did in week four, week six. They're like, I used to use you in Madden, man.
You used to go get all the tackles. I was like, hey, like, how do you respond to that? Like,
damn right I did.
Like, appreciate you. Like, thank you, brother.
Hey, Loki, I remember using Kirk in Madden those days. I got to tell you, Kirk was always a solid linebacker. You always
solid.
I loved using Kirk. It was, you know, back when he was on the team, the Raiders had a pretty good linebacking core. It was,
yeah, we did.
And I can't remember the other guy's name. I'm blanking on it.
It was my boy Thomas Howard, man. Late Thomas Howard, but he played ball, man. We had it going for a while, even though our team wasn't the best. We had it going for a while, fellas.
Definitely.
All right, so this is my only.
What your highest rating was?
What was my highest rating? Well, I think I got to like a 92.
87.
80? No, I was in the 90s. Stop it.
Most
I was in the 90s.
Last one in 2012 was 79.
Chris, why do you got to look? Kirk.
Hey, don't go to the
Curtis,
don't go.
Why you
see,
look at the facts. Don't,
once
don't
you start going down to like 2012, 11, 12, they started hating on my stat line. But you got to go to like the 07, 08, 09. That's when I was at my height.
That was pre-roster.
Kirk, don't pay attention to him. Don't pay attention to him, all right? It's 92. We'll run with 92. Look, Curtis, only use the facts that help the show, all right? If it's not helping myself.
Hey, a B-plus is all right, though, right? 87 is like a B-plus.
Okay, a B-plus player. Real quick. Here's my issue. The one issue I got. So NBA 2K21, Damian Lillard, which, by the way, one of the cold-blooded Dame time. Like, I love just everything about his game. It really is. Right. I enjoy watching him play. But I got a question. The cover. I'm confused on the cover.
Okay.
Why is he look like he's going up to dunk? Like, that's not Damian Lillard. Like, get Dame on what he does. You know what Dame does? And I know maybe it's different on a cover of how they do it, but the dude pulls up from 30 feet, hits game winners, doesn't care how much time is on the clock, doesn't care what the situation is, playoff. Like, I wish they played off of what we know Dame for. If you said what do you know Dame Lillard for? Was he going up for a tomahawk dunk? I don't even remember ever seeing Dame.
I would have shown him like walking away, waving bye-bye.
By the way, I saw that tweet. Did you see that tweet?
I was about to tell you, if you go to Bleacher Report, they actually have the picture of Dame kind of waving bye and him, you know, that look he had after he knocked OKC out of the playoffs. That blank stare, yeah, in the background.
That's what you need. That's the one you need.
Is the one. All right,
Ronnie,
Kirk, what
TK,
you got,
where
boy?
You at?
Okay, what I got, fellas, some somber news that I wanted to bring up. Just because this is like a place that I think a lot of us would go. We would play video games. We'd jump in the ball pit. We would eat pizza. It seemed like everyone would have their birthday party every Saturday at this place
of
fun. Don't
you do it right now. Don't you do this right now, Kirk.
The news had came out, and for some who already know, and this is for those who don't know, but Chuck E. Cheese filed for bankruptcy, man. They're one of the companies or places of business that's not going to make it out the pandemic unscathed.
Mm. What about Pasquale's?
What's up?
What about Pasquale's?
Yeah,
do you know about
Pasquale's?
This?
Yes, I know about Pasquale's. Okay. Yes, mm-hmm. And Pasquale's, the pizza place that was disguised—the disguise of Chuck E. Cheese—because I love Chuck E. Cheese pizza.
Underground.
Yes, Pasquale's was Chuck E. Cheese pizza that was still out there selling pizzas to people. Mm-hmm. And look, just the whole chain, right? And so, I just thought about all the fun times that I had, and in looking up this story, I wanted to ask you guys, do you know what the E stood for in Chuck E. Cheese? Does anybody
know? First of
all,
that's a great question. I have no idea. Let me just say one thing real
quick. We just knew it was Chuck E. Cheese. We didn't know what
it was Chuck
E.
Cheese.
We
didn't ask any questions. We just said, cool, Mom, I'm going to grab some pizza. You grab the pizza. I'm going to go to that little area over there where all those, you know, jumpy balls are completely greasy because God knows how many kids have been jumping in here for years.
We didn't worry about
an hour and a half in there.
It was like a runny nose waiting to happen. Like, as soon as you left Chuck E. Cheese, you had a runny nose, right? But Chuck E. Cheese.
As soon as you left Chuck E. Cheese, you had a runny nose. Man, is that not the truth?
The E in Chuck E. Cheese stood for entertainment. Never knew that. It was Chuck Entertainment Cheese. Huh. And so because it was a place of entertainment. So I'm thinking it was going to be like a Edward or something. Like, no, it was Chuck Entertainment Cheese, better known as Chuck E. Cheese, man. So I know we've had a couple of vodka ads so far tonight. So I'm going to pour out a little liquor for Chuck E. Cheese, man. A great place to mingle, but it's kind of like Toys R Us, man, where a kid can be a kid, right?
Let's do this. Let's have a moment of silence for Chuck E. Cheese. We're going to do it for 11 minutes. Go ahead.
I think the siren alarm will go off at that point. We can do it for 11 seconds.
So this is the one thing I will say. Them filing for Chapter 11 reorganization bankruptcy, does that mean – I mean, I think they're just going to kind of restructure everything, it sounds like, right? They'll get rid of some of their bad debt. I mean, listen, I feel for every business in these times. We talked about it a little bit earlier. How are you surviving in this business? And don't you feel, Kirk – I feel like I'm having more of these conversations every time I go to a business. If I go to a Starbucks, and you know a lot of the same people, you're saying, how are things going? If you go, I went to my dry cleaner earlier today, just had to drop off a jacket. Bro, I feel for all these businesses. I mean, you just cannot, it's impossible to run your business the way you were running it before. And I know, you know, in a sense, we joke around. We went to Chuck E. Cheese back in the day. We were kids, all that stuff. But here's the reality. It is crazy how much businesses are affected in today's climate. Just unbelievable.
Yes. And it continues to keep going. Like, you know, it just, when with numbers still spiking, things are now, you know, rollouts are now being rolled back, right? Mm-hmm. The reopenings are now being reclosed. It's been scary, right? And so you're kind of losing places that you grew up going to, right? Like the local mom and pop shops that, you know, I used to love to go eat at, you know, in my neighborhood over in Oakland, California. My mom was telling me, hey, you know, this place closed down. I was like, what?
How are they
going to
survive?
Every time I got back to town, that's the first place
what
I
kind of
had
food?
To be at.
What kind of food?
Oh, Asian cuisine, man. Mm-hmm. Asian cuisine. It was great. Like, they had these beef lo mein noodles that I just loved, man. They would just stir fry them up the right way. And it was just, you know, you kind of grow up eating it and, you know, now it's like my spot. I can't go check it out when I get home.
Mm-hmm. Kirk, this happens, and I know you know this. We always – everything goes back to food at some point during the show.
I'm sorry, everything goes back.
No, don't be sorry. We're doing it all the time too. Yesterday we were breaking down steakhouses, and we're talking – I don't know. We were just kind of –
And y'all left me out of that one, huh?
Well, it wasn't your day. You want to talk about it now?
We can talk. No, we can save it for tomorrow. We can save it for tomorrow.
Kirk, here's what happened. Okay, come in tomorrow. Your favorite steakhouse in LA. All right, your favorite steakhouse in LA. All right, okay. So we'll do that. But this is what happened yesterday. So Brad Turner from the LA Times, he's on the show. Michael Thompson on the show as well. So I had both of them on. And the first thing Brad Turner says, he's saying during the quarantine, he's spending a lot of time cooking. Yes. And the show ends, or not the show ends, their kind of segment, the conversation ends. Now he's sending pictures in a group text to me and MT on what he's cooking, and the food looks phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I tell these guys, next thing you know, we're 5 minutes talking about steakhouses and blah, blah, blah. Nothing better than food, Kirk.
Nothing so you bring
up
food. That's how
you bring up this Asian cuisine food. All come on, that's
yeah, I'm hungry.
That's as good as it gets. Yeah. All right, we got to get Om Young Masuk. He's coming up. He actually has a great article right now on ESPN.com, just talking about part of this conversation that Adam Silver had in regards to just all the on track but virus spread may stop the NBA that could happen. So we'll get kind of the latest on that front. Om Young Masuk from ESPN. We'll be joining the Sliwa Show, Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison, 710 ESPN. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Glad to have Om Young Masuk, ESPN staff writer, covers the NBA. Om, appreciate you hopping on. You're on with Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison. What's going on, buddy?
What up, guys? How you doing?
Good, man. Good. We're just I don't know if you heard about this. Kirk just brought up that Chuck E. Cheese is filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Kind of somber news, as he put it, man. Did you used to go to Chuck E. Cheese back in the days, or is it just me and Kirk that were always there?
Oh, no. Of course I went to Chuck E. Cheese, man.
Everybody did, right?
Everybody did.
You know,
man.
I mean, I don't know if you guys had this on the West Coast, but I grew up on the East Coast. We had Farrell's and Swenson back in the day. So as a kid, used to go to that. So, I mean, It's sad seeing a lot of these companies. Look, I mourned Toys R Us when it went out of business.
Oh yeah.
I went to every Toys R Us I could before they went out of business. In fact, the Toys R Us near me in Culver City is now turning into like a restoration hardware outlet, which is cool, you know. But I miss my Toys R Us. So I definitely watching all these companies go out of business is pretty sad.
Well, look, Owen, we appreciate you coming on, and obviously. The NBA, as active as they come, what I'm referring to there is always seems like there's, new information coming out. And that's just – this is how it's going to be from now until we get that opportunity where all 22 teams head out to Orlando and then hopefully get a chance to, obviously finish off the season. You had a great piece earlier today on ESPN.com. Just your thoughts. How are you feeling, and how do you think a lot of folks from the NBA are feeling – about putting this thing together and somehow figuring out a way to crown a champion this season?
I would agree with Adam Silver that the model the NBA has compared to every other sport that is trying to come back, you can feel about as confident as one can be. And I'm not saying you can have a ton of confidence because you're battling a virus that is going to dictate the terms to you. But what the NBA has as far as not even a bubble, it's a campus situation. I would like to call it a bubble if all the employees in there from Disney were adhering to the same rules and couldn't leave as well. And if they left, they couldn't come back in or had to quarantine. Then I would feel it's a bubble. But it's not quite a bubble because of that. And I do worry about that. But as far as everything they're going to do, as far as keeping the players socially distanced, daily testing, tracing, all of that, I feel like that's as good a situation as you can get in sports of keeping all the teams there. But the problem is, it doesn't look good when you have facilities being shut down like the Denver Nuggets, the Brooklyn Nets, and you have positive cases. I think that the NBA was expecting positive cases to happen once guys were coming back into their market and testing. The key is going to be getting to Orlando, getting in there, and making sure that things don't spread once they're inside there. And I think that's where Adam Silver had to admit and acknowledge today that that there is a scenario. We don't know what the numbers are yet. We're going to see as we go. But the NBA knows that if there's a spread inside the campus and the NBA community, there certainly will come. There could have come a time, potentially, where the NBA would have to halt for a second time and stop play because, if things spread out of control, then you got to worry about it. But I think a lot of people are looking at it like they're getting ready to go to Florida where there's been certainly a surge in cases Like on Saturday, there was almost 10,000 new cases.
Jesus.
And that was like the largest one-day number they've had throughout this whole pandemic. But the NBA will be protected on a campus and certainly will be trying to keep people out of that campus. And so I think that is where the level of any type of confidence you can have in the situation of coming back in the pandemic, that's where you would have it.
Yeah, see, that's the question that I have for you is kind of who's permitted to be on this campus, right? We know about the players. We know about people who are part of the team, training staff, equipment, all of that, athletic staff. But then what about families? Okay, is it just certain family members? Is it not? Like, how is the NBA going to handle what I call, because look, we know guys in the NBA, they don't travel alone, whether it's family or with an entourage. How do you handle that part of it as well?
Well, so that, I think that's the part that is probably still being worked out. But I think if the NBA had their way, maybe you bring in one family member or wife or whatever it may be, come the second round. And I think some teams probably would like that to be a little bit earlier, maybe say the first round of the playoffs. The seeding games end, I think, around August 15th or 17th. So then probably, you know, I think teams would want to start to bring, you know, basically a relative or a loved one at that point, a family member. And I think, you know, that's where it gets risky because whoever you bring in now is going to have to quarantine for at least a week. And then you hope for the best. And listen, it's going to be tough. This is a situation where players, team members, executives, they are going to have to sacrifice unlike never before. Yeah. You cannot be selfish when you're in there. You basically have to be about the team. You're not only in the past, right? Like if you were making a playoff run and say a couple guys decide to go clubbing the night before a playoff game, which is selfish, right? You certainly are putting yourself before the team and their goals. This is different now. This is not only just team goals. This is potentially health as well. You don't want to risk the health of another teammate or another older assistant coach or coach because now you could be looking at a life and death situation. There's so many things, so many layers to this where, like, you are going to have to sacrifice more than ever before. And whoever's left standing at the end, I truly believe this, is the winner of a war of attrition. You want to talk about an asterisk for a champion who's going to win and say, oh, well, like, you know, the champion may win because the other teams they went through, they weren't at full strength because they lost players to coronavirus or whatever. You could take coronavirus out of this whole situation and just put these teams in a bubble for like 4 months and ask them to win without being around family and everything like that. And that would be an unprecedented situation. And that would feel like a war of attrition mentally and physically. And now I think when you add on to the coronavirus, I think whoever wins in his last team standing, they will have definitely earned it.
That's a great way to put it. I was mentioning this yesterday. I'm kind of done with the whole asterisk talk. I kind of, when I say that, I just basically what I'm referring to is, what do you want them to do? You know, this isn't anybody's plan. It's not like anybody wanted to stop the NBA for 4 months or whatever the case is. Everybody is just in this predicament. So I think that's a great way to put it. Something that Kirk and I were talking about a little bit earlier. So I played a clip from Jalen Rose on GetUp. And Jalen was, you know, making the point, and Kirk agreed with him, that the loss of Avery Bradley and the fact that, you know, now all of a sudden you're playing in Orlando, home court advantage and Staples Center, and you could say seven games, Lakers versus the Clippers, wipe that out of the way as well. Kirk had some great points. But one of the things that he mentions is now he gives the edge to the Clippers over the Lakers. I don't feel that way. I'm still with, I think Avery's a huge piece for the Lakers, but it doesn't swing me that way. What are your thoughts? You walking into this tournament just based on what the rosters look like now, do you think the Clippers have more of an edge over the Lakers or vice versa?
I definitely think the Avery Bradley thing worked in the favor of the Clippers. And here's why. Okay. And I'm not going to try to overstate Avery Bradley. I'm not saying like the Lakers lost Anthony Davis, right? They didn't lose Kyle Kuzma, but Avery Bradley was a very good play, very good piece, defensively, offensively, and I think basketball IQ wise, you knew what you're getting with him. You knew that he was going to be solid, right? Now you have taken him out of the equation. You are putting someone that's going to have to play more minutes. Perhaps KCP is going to have to play more minutes, which now puts him in situations where he can get into foul trouble because the Lakers are really going to have to depend on his defense and outside shooting. He's now going to have to play more minutes. Caruso is going to have to play more minutes. And I think Caruso can step up. I think this is a good thing for Caruso. But now you have entered another wild card into the situation where it might not have been as stable as it was with Avery Bradley, where you knew you were, what you were going to get. J.R. Smith, we know, can make he can deliver buckets. We know that, right? But he's a wild card. So is Deion Waiters. We don't know in the heat of the moment, are they going to be as stable and are they going to deliver and can you count on them? And then that's just basketball, Alan. Mm-hmm. We're now talking about being in a bubble situation where there's no fans, where there's no family, where there's no loved ones, how they're going to deal with that for 4 months. I mean, every team has to go through the same thing. But I certainly would want to go through this situation with as stable as a situation as possible and know what I'm going to get. And with that all being said, Alan, we still don't know what we're going to get, right? Because nobody's ever dealt with this. But I just feel like with Avery Bradley, you know, you had a certain chemistry there. You knew what you were getting. And now you've entered a little bit more of a wild card in the situation into a situation that we've never been into before. That's why I feel this plays a little bit. This is going to benefit the Clippers if the two face off.
You know, I was comparing it to a couple years back when they did have the Orlando Summer League for a period of time. Remember where you just see the like back windows that you could see in the background. There was no fans, but you know I would still watch it. It would be on NBA TV. But how does not having the fans probably affect some of these games? Where look. As a former player in the NFL, I know what the fans can do to you, how momentum can swing, how you can feel like, okay, I need to take a time out here to calm the crowd down. It won't be that situation. So when you look at it, who does this actually favor? What team? Not just Lakers, Clippers, but is there another team out there that possibly can play better in this environment than maybe playing on the road or even at home?
So I did a couple of boxing stories during this break in the pandemic, and one thing about boxers coming back with no fans, a bunch of the guys I talked to were saying, this will be the moment where you probably might see the gym boxer emerge. The guy who is unbelievable at sparring in the ring and actually can, like, basically take it to world champions. But when you put him in the ring under the spotlight in front of the fans with all the pressure, he will. And so with the basketball situation, I was wondering, and I've asked some coaches this, you know, at every level, you've always heard of the guy who just basically goes off and practice all the time, but then sometimes it doesn't deliver when under, you know, on the big stage, under the lights, in front of the fans, but is unbelievable in scrimmages. And so I wonder if you'll start seeing some of those guys have moments where they become like a little bit of an X factor. Like Alex Caruso is used to playing in front of small crowds and big crowds. He is a huge fan favorite. But I would say his G League experience is probably going to help him in a situation like this.
Great point.
Man, there are certain superstars that like feed off the crowd. How would they deal now with no crowd? And on top of that, I do feel a major X factor for teams in this situation are going to be your energy players. Your energy players are going to be even bigger now because there's no fans. For them to provide energy off the bench when they're on the court, but also while on the bench cheering on their teammates, this is going to be huge. And also, like, I look at Dwight Howard, for example, and I feel Dwight Howard has been an energy guy for them, big time. But Dwight Howard also feeds off the energy of the crowd as well. How is that dynamic going to play out? You look at the Clippers, for example, they have a couple energy guys, Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell. They're going to be big for that team, not necessarily statistically, but what they do as far as bringing to the team an energy and hype and getting that emotion going. I think that's going to be all big things that play out in Orlando.
Om Young Masak covers the NBA for ESPN, joining the Sleepy Show. Om, we'll leave you with this one final question. I know we're a little bit away from this, and there's a lot that can happen between now and then. But that eighth spot, obviously significant here in Los Angeles because that team's going to face the Lakers in the first round. What do you think? Is there a team that you think has the edge there based upon now we have the schedules out and everything else? Who do you think grabs that number eight spot, faces the Lakers in the first round?
I know Portland's schedule is supposed to be really tough. I saw that. And New Orleans, I think – they're going to have a young group. Obviously, I think they said today, David Griffin said three players tested positive for coronavirus. So we need to see how that shakes out. But all things being equal, I still have a hard time turning down Portland with Damian Lillard on that team. I think that's a team that if I'm the Lakers, I don't necessarily want to face them in the playoffs, because if Portland gets into the eighth spot, and when I say that, I'm not saying the Lakers are going to lose to Portland. I think the Lakers will beat Portland. But you just don't want to face a team that gets hot going into the playoffs and has momentum, because every game Portland's going to play now is basically a playoff game to get in. And if Portland gets in and Damian Lillard's feeling good, that just is a tougher first round than the Lakers really need in that eighth spot. If I'm the Lakers, I want to see Memphis, because that means Memphis kind of barely held on, got in, and you don't have to deal with the team that's getting really hot. Because I covered the 99 Knicks during that lockout abbreviated season, the 50-game season. They made it in at the eighth seed, barely
that's
made
right.
it in at like 27 and 23 or something like that, and then basically faced the Miami Heat in the first round, the number one seed, and beat the Miami Heat. Now, that was a perfect situation for the Knicks, because the Knicks knew they could match up well with the Heat. They were rivals. They always felt confident against Miami. It was a perfect storm for them. But they felt good. They had nothing to lose going in. And so if I'm the Lakers in a situation like this where we've never been through it before, we don't know how teams are going to react, I certainly don't want to face a team that's going to feel confident and feel hot and feeling good about themselves and has somebody as dangerous as Damian Lillard going into the playoffs. I'd rather face somebody else.
Yeah, you get an inexperienced Memphis team. Couldn't agree more. Ohm, always appreciate it, buddy. Thank you for doing this. Great insight as always, all right?
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Ohm.
Right, that's Ohm Young-Masuk right there. 710 ESPN wants to salute all of our frontline workers as part of our Thank You Thursdays presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. If you know someone who's working as a healthcare provider, firefighter, EMS worker, or a food service professional, nominate him or her today. Here's how you do it. Email the station, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com, with your first and last name, city, and occupation, or post a short video on Instagram or Twitter and include the hashtag 710 Thank You Thursdays every Thursday. We'll interview a frontline worker and award them a $500 thank you gift to include $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, $100 gift card to Wingstop, VSLiquor.com, and Shooteria.com. A lot of asterisk talk. A lot of asterisk talk, Kirk. Final thoughts when we come back. Plus, by the way, Draymond Green was on Jalen and Jacoby. I do want to play one clip from that as well. Stay right here. Sliwa Show, 710 ESPN, Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison. All right, thank you to Ohm Young-Masuk for joining the show. Jess, quick question. I know you went back into the archives. What was Kirk
yes.
Morrison's? What was his rating on Madden, real quick?
So I dug deep into Google,
yep.
and
yeah.
in Madden 2009, I yep. see him right here. He is rated 92.
Okay, real quick,
highest
let me flip it over here.
On the Raiders.
Damn. Let me flip it over here to Curtis. Curtis, why you gotta do that to Kirk, man? Here he is, a guest. We're inviting him into our home, and why you gotta treat
Come
him
on,
like that?
Man.
What happened?
Hey man, don't ask me. Ask the Madden stats guys.
I like that.
And
he's
the funny part was,
they've
I was
got a
straight
friend.
To the
too. You know who they are when you see them.
I was mm-hmm. friends with the Madden guys too, so I would go on campus.
Kirk,
that's how
look
I met
at
him.
Kirk working both sides. You were
no,
friends with the Madden guys.
At he actually one of them went to San Diego State. So
oh really?
That's how we first met. And
did
then,
you tell him? Did you tell him like what? Would you have me at 89? I just look. Remember our relationship, and then kind of notched it up a couple knots from there.
I actually was. I played Madden for a little bit. I was a hardcore mm-hmm. guy for a couple years. I actually went on a trip to a Madden Bowl trip in Turks and Caicos. Yes, so I went all the way to Turks and Caicos for a Madden Bowl trip. It was amazing. It was me, Bernard Berrien, Marshawn Lynch. Oh, my God. It was a couple other players.
Living the good life, Kirk.
But it was a great weekend, and we just hung out with a bunch of Madden gamers. Like, guys were just showing me all their tricks and the audibles they had lined. Like, we're talking about the guys who, like, literally do this for a living. Right,
Kirk was working his game ratings.
Well, I wasn't working my game. I'm watching these dudes. I was in awe of how much, like, the football
detail
they
goes
knew,
in.
Like, mm-hmm. the detail, the football they knew, and just how much football that they watch as well. Like, we don't give gamers enough credit, especially the Madden guys, especially
mm-hmm.
with the 2K. Like, they know the game even better than I think some analysts do, the way that they can verbalize it. It was amazing fun. It was a lot of fun.
Well, Kirk, think about it. They're literally putting together the game, right? Like every
right.
play, literally every play you can possibly think of in the playbook is there. Like, they want to make it as real as possible. So
Correct.
I guess I'm not too surprised on that. All right, Kirk, I got to get your thoughts on this. So you heard Olm talking about the asterisk stuff.
Yeah.
Is it just me or we got to stop talking asterisk here? Like, what do you want? This is my only view on this. What's the NBA supposed to do? Like, what are they?
Right.
They're stuck behind a corner. It's not like with their backs in the corner. It's not like they're choosing this. It's not like right. they want to play, you know, less than the amount of games they were supposed to play. It's not like they want to be in Orlando in a bubble. Can we just give credit if we end up crowning a champion, whether that's the Lakers, whether that's any other team in the league?
Yeah.
Can we just tip our hat and say, all right, that's the best team standing. Let's leave it at that.
Well, I've said it before, Sliwa. Mm-hmm. It's just going to take time, right? It's going to take time. It's just hard that when you hear 2020, they will be the first champion crowned. Oh, not the first champion, because LSU did it in 2020, and then you have the Super Bowl. But for the sports that took place after that were having the championship
after COVID,
after COVID, mm-hmm. I think we'll remember that. I mean, honestly. Or over the test of time, because I said it before. I think it was the 2011, 2012, LeBron's first championship in Miami. Remember, mm-hmm. it was a 66-game season. It wasn't the 82.
That's right.
It was a 66-game season. And I joked with my buddy about the asterisk LeBron. He didn't play 82. He played 66, but we never talk about it anymore. It's just LeBron mm-hmm. won a championship with the Miami Heat. So the same thing for whoever wins a championship. I think after this restart, I think over the test of time, Alan, I think we'll let it slide, right?
Well,
you won with everybody having the same circumstances.
I think let it slide is one way to put it. I think another way to put it is they literally have no control. Like, the world does not have control of what's going on. So, all right, we can continue that conversation tomorrow. Kirk, thank you, my man, as always. Looking forward to do this again tomorrow. Appreciate you being a part of the show.
Hey, always, brother. See you Wednesday night.
Yes, sir. All right, that's Kirk Morrison right there. Thank you to Jesse. Thank you to Curtis. LA, as always, greatly appreciate it. You miss any part of the show, tune in on the ESPN app. Thank you for tuning in, and have a great rest of your night.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that GEICO always has your back with 24/7 access to claim service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.